The Fall Drive Prize drawing is subject to all applicable federal, state, and local laws and regulations. Void where prohibited or restricted by law or regulations. To enter, call 877-500-5266 between the hours of 6 a.m. and 10 p.m. and provide your name, complete address with zip code, date of birth, and day evening phone numbers with area code. Only one entry per person per household per year will be accepted during the drive drawing period. Entries may be mailed with the aforementioned information to KBOO Radio, care of Membership Department, 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97214, postmarked by September 22nd. Incomplete or late entries will not be accepted. Winner will be determined in a random drawing on Thursday, October 4th. Winner will be notified by telephone, mail, or email after Monday, October 8th. For a copy of official prize drawing rules and restrictions, and for the names of the winners, go to kboo.fm/fall2018drawing. And thank you.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of History and Strategy of German Anti-Fascism on Saturday, September 8th, 7 p.m. at Cider Riot in Portland. Organized anti-fascist resistance is necessary. It's useful to take a look at different experiences built from movements in other countries. The speakers will present the major strategies, struggles, and theories of the German anti-fascist movement from 1932 to the present. Again, that's History and Strategy of German Anti-Fascism on Saturday, September 8th, 7 p.m. at Cider Riot, 807 Northeast Cooch Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
And we'll never rest again until every Nazi dies.
KBOO Community Radio is hiring a news and public affairs director to manage the evening news and public affairs programming and to train and supervise volunteers. For this full-time position, we're looking for someone with proven experience in news and public affairs production, management and supervisory skills with volunteers with emphasis on teamwork in a collaborative setting, and ability to work under strict deadlines. KBOO Community Radio is an equal opportunity and affirmative action employer. Women and people of color are encouraged to apply. Deadline to apply is Sunday, September 23rd at midnight. More information can be found at kboo.fm/newsdirector-hire-2018.
Nope. It's 9:02 a.m. at KBOO Portland. And today, this week, this month, we get APA Compass. There's a lot more coming to bring you up to the 12 o'clock hour in this week's News and Public Affairs block, so stay tuned for more right now. APA Compass.
Hmong, Nepalian, Indonesian, Mien, Filipina, Malaysian, Pakistani, Taiwanese, Cambodian, Korean, Papa, Laotian, Samoan, Bangladeshi, Thai, Singaporean, Chinese, Indian, Hawaiian, Japanese,
Sam there being all sneaky. So good morning. If you are a longtime KBOO listener, which you are, right? Because we're in the membership drive right now. And so you're just fervently tuning in to KBOO this morning. You're like, what? APA Compass is back. Yes. Actually, this morning you are tuned in to Pacific Underground here on KBOO Portland. But we have our special 50th anniversary KBOO a show, we're going to call it right now, also known as the Return of APA Compass on Pacific Underground. I am joined with three very special guests. I'm joined with Liz Rogers, Marie Lowe, and Patty Sakurai. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Welcome back to KBOO.
Oh, my
goodness. Thank you.
Thank you.
Flashbacks.
For sure.
So if you are unfamiliar with APA Compass, APA Compass was the Asian Pacific American show that was on before Pacific Underground. So Pacific Underground has been on the air since January of 2016. And APA Compass went on the air in do you guys know which month?
May 2005.
Yeah.
2005. And then you guys were on for a decade.
Yeah. Yeah, we made it to our 10th year, our last year, our 10th year. And I have to shout out to Sarika Mehta, who kept it you know, help us keep it afloat and made it help us really make it to the 10 years.
That's really amazing. Let's
think about it.
While we're in this membership drive, for everyone to remember that, like, you know, these are volunteers coming in for a decade. And, you know, I've been in the Pacific Underground Collective now for 2.5 years, and I love my collective members, but it's exhausting to run a collective.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah. Well, can we just sort of start back at the beginning of APA Compass? So are the three of you the founding members?
Yes, but there are others as well.
Right. Okay, so who else was there in the founding group?
Oh, my goodness. Wesley Wong, Pam Fawn.
Josie
Magali Michaels.
Mm-hmm. Claire Oliveros. And
who are we forgetting?
Oh my gosh.
Getting old. Wow, so you guys were a quite large collection of people. And did you meet
AFIFA
at KBOO?
Ahmad as well. AFIFA.
Yes, AFIFA, yes.
Okay. And did you meet outside of KBOO and then come to KBOO, or did you all meet here? How did you come together?
I think we all kind of knew each other through different avenues. I had known Patty through a workshop that I did. And I knew Wes and Pam through some other community stuff. And then I think everyone else kind of knew each other in different ways through the community.
Right. I think Patty and I met even before we both arrived in Portland back when we were in graduate school. So we met in the Bay Area and then didn't see each other for years until we found ourselves here. So that was sort of how we connected through work.
And then whose idea was like, you know, you guys, let's have a radio show. How did that come to fruition?
I was dating someone who worked at KBOO, and so that was certainly an impetus in the sense that he helped us sort of navigate the process and learn about radio production. And he had noticed from working here that there wasn't any programming addressing the APA community here in Portland. And so he sort of suggested that we, you know, come up with a proposal. And we worked with Robert Jefferson, who was the news director at the time. And he also really helped us. And I think that's sort of how we started. But we had all of us had no radio experience at all.
It sounds like a lot of fun then.
It was
fun.
Speaking of the eternally grateful to KBOO, and we just saw Ani for the first time in years, and I think just their patience with us. It was one technical disaster.
Yes, yeah, so it was.
We did our own engineering. There was a lot of oops,
dead air.
Right. Yes.
A lot of running around.
Some stress. But eventually we've figured it out.
You know, over the years, the KBOO website has changed, and so information has gotten lost and whatnot. So I wasn't able to find information about your first episode. Do you guys remember what it was?
We might have buried it.
Right? Yeah. I think it was around. Was it,
it was a round table?
It was
talk
a round
about a
table.
Technical train wreck, because we had not knowing. We were like, we'll talk for a little while and then we'll go to a clip, and then da da da, and our clips got mixed up. And so, but I think it was just a round table with all of us, and some of it was pre-recorded to just kind of talk about, you know, why each of us got involved in the program, what the need was, and I think just trying to round out our own sense of mission and kind of what we were trying to accomplish. And at least for me, I just remember first and foremost is really wanting to incorporate a lot of different voices. There is no singular AP voice.
Right.
It's such a diverse community, and I'm trying to make that pretty clear from the start.
Yeah, so we got to get over to Membership Central here in a few seconds. But while we're doing that, I want you guys to think about this question, because we constantly have this with Pacific Underground is that idea that, you know, there is no singular, you know, APA, API voice. The community is huge. And so how do you create inclusivity in a collective that is often maybe not as diverse as the community is? And then how do you get all those voices represented? We'll talk about that when we come back. But let's see, who do we got over there in Membership Central? We got Jesse, and I think we got Jesse, are you there? Hello.
Good morning. Thank you so much, Jenna, and all the APA participants. That was such a cool kind of origin story. How you guys established back in 2005, and yet kind of paved the way for Pacific Underground. And I loved how we were mentioning through community, you all kind of connected together and started a radio show. And what an awesome platform that KBOO Community Radio does for everyone to make something like you just being friends or dating people at the station to make it happen. I'm Jessie, and I'm here to invite you to call 877-500-5266 and become a member of this community here at KBOO. And Becky, there's also another way we can donate, maybe online.
That's indeed true.
Well, it turns out that here I am. Ah, yes, on KBOO.fm, and click the donate button. That is one other easy way to do it. But we're here just for you, dear folks out there, trying to raise funds for KBOO. Hey.
Yes, yes. And when you tune into these news and public affairs segments like Pacific Underground, like APA Compass, you know, Disability Awareness, Black Book Talk, you are getting informed about communities here in the Portland metro area and beyond.
Right. Your friends, your neighbors, your family, they come to KBOO, they listen to KBOO, and right now we're asking you to join KBOO in supporting everybody who has a voice here at KBOO. 877-500-5266 is the phone number to call.
Or online, kboo.fm. And when you call to make your donation, you will be entered into today's prize drawing.
That's right. A pair of theater guest passes and two medium popcorn passes to Hollywood Theater and a $50 gift certificate to Tin Shed Cafe.
Woohoo! And you
everyone can... that calls is entered to
yes.
win.
And what is that number again?
The number is 877-500-5266.
Awesome. Yes. Join Margaret and Andrea and Carrie and Dennis and Denna that also contributed and became members of KBOO today. So pick up that phone right now, folks. Call 877-500-5266. We have a goal this morning to reach, and we can do that, but only with your help.
That goal is $500, by the way.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that's just a couple of you calling in at a $20 a month level. And not only that, you get some cool stuff. So give us a call, 877-500-5266. We can fill you in on the details, but the first step is yours. It's yours.
It is yours.
Yours.
Yes, and join Jenna and the rest of the collective as they continue their conversation about APA Compass. But while you are doing that and listening and tuning in to KBOO, call 877-500-5266 and make your donation now.
Thank you, Jessie. And thank you, Becky, very much. And I just want to remind everyone that we got a match this hour. So you know what? You should call in because... hey, you like Asians, you like Pacific Islanders on the radio. We got a whole bunch in the room today celebrating how long KBOO has been amplifying and lifting voices from the API community here on Pacific Underground. We've been on for just a measly 2 years compared to the decade-long reign that was APA Compass. And so you are tuned into KBOO Community Radio listening to Pacific Underground this morning, where we have special founding members of APA Compass, the very awesome show that was on before Pacific Underground here on your community-supported radio station. And before we went to our break, we were talking about how do you include all the voices, I don't even know if you can do that, with that are that make up the APA community. How did you guys approach that?
Well, I mean, I think we were really honest with ourselves and tried to be honest, I think, in our production of the program that we weren't really going to be able to represent every voice that's out there. You know, I think what we really hoped to do is just look at stories that really weren't getting covered and that were really important to our community, that had a really, you know, big effect, and issues that had effects on our community and our community, our relationship with other communities. So I think that's, you know, I think we really tried to be inclusive in that way.
And I think too, yeah, just that process as a group to have that conversation ongoing month to month, just, you know, what hasn't been covered yet, and kind of where the, and I think again, because Portland's a small town, unfortunately, right, we were able to tap into this community resources and to kind of make those connections to try to kind of have as wide, I guess, of coverage as we possibly could. We're still trying.
Yeah, and I would say too, you know, certainly in the first few years especially, we were really process driven. So a lot of the conversations actually took place, you know, off the air, and because we were trying to figure out like what kinds of stories needed to be represented, but also how we work together as a collective, because of course, you know, we were a diverse group of people with different views as well. So internally as a collective, we had actually a lot of, you know, conflict about what needed to be aired and how we were going to sort of function as a collective. So those dynamics of power also sort of played out in within the collective as well. But I think as we sort of figured things out, something else we really tried to do was work with other community partners, and we tried to emphasize also training, so that we weren't telling other people's stories, but that they would be then given the skills and also opportunity to, you know, learn about like editing and production, that they could then tell their own stories. And so we had actually people come in and do a segment that we called the Angry APA Minute, so that they could tell their own stories. We would, you know, sort of give them a space in the studio to help them maybe, you know, do some editing. But that way also we gave others a chance to sort of have their own sort of opportunity to tell their stories.
I like that a lot.
I forgot about that.
That's a good idea. Can we steal that?
Bring it back. Yeah, because I'd say that something we struggle with on Pacific Underground that I know we've gotten total criticism that we should be getting criticism for is that the majority of the people in our collectives have been East Asian. Mm-hmm. And so because those are like the communities that we're most tightly tapped into, that those are like the easy guests for us to get. And then we oftentimes don't include the Pacific Islander voice enough.
Southeast Asians.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think it comes from us being afraid to, we don't want to be telling other people's stories and speaking for them. And so maybe we'll totally rename it the Angry Pacific Underground. But I like that, this idea of empowering and giving other people the mic to just, you know, hey, you tell your story, because it is this very scary line that you don't want to cross as you're like trying to represent everyone.
Right.
Knowing that you can't represent everybody.
Right. And you don't want to co-opt their stories or, you know, appropriate them. And so this was sort of one small way that we tried to. But that was also a result of like a lot of process and talk and conflict and, you know, to arrive at things like that.
I'll admit I'm sort of having this senpai noticed me moment since y'all are the predecessors to our show. But one thing I'm curious about is, how did y'all prevent yourself from having burnout? Because there are just times when I'm just not engaged in the production process for Pacific Underground.
And yeah, a decade. Yeah, how do you keep that momentum for a decade?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it definitely ebbed and flowed.
Yeah.
I think at one point it was the three of us, right?
Right.
Of people,
yes.
You know, again, life happens and other challenges, but I think we were able to keep that energy going. And I think, again, as a collective, we're pretty cognizant about division of labor. So I think that helped to some extent, mm-hmm. but there were a lot of all-nighters here.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was not there for the whole 10 years. I had a child, and so kind of disappeared into the sort of parenting vortex. So,
yeah. How long were each of you on summary? You said, how long were you on the show?
I don't remember. At least five. And then I came back at the end of, towards the, you know, 10th year for a little bit. So and off, but, you know, but intensively, I think I was five, I think. And I know that Liz and Patty were way longer. Mm. No, really?
Not really.
I stuck. With again, I have to give it to Sarika, because she, I think, the last year and a half, she really kept it afloat. Because it is hard. It is hard. And, you know, production, I mean, to put together a five-minute piece takes hours. And then
editing is my least
if you don't have any hiccups, if your audio is fine and if the track is fine, but if something hiccups or you lose something, then you're back to square one. So it's, but I think, I know for me, at least when I started, you know, it helped just because we had just a, you know, just because of our group dynamic, even though sometimes it was really difficult. I think, you know, at least at the end of the day, we all had, you know, we were here for the same purpose. Like, we just wanted voices to be heard. So I think that helped.
And I think also our collective was large enough that those of us with different skill sets and interests could then just sort of follow them. Because, so I actually am not a fan of being on the air live, but I loved editing, so that was, you know, what I would do and stay here until 2 a.m. editing, and that was fun and obviously possible when you didn't have a child. So I think that that's what Patty and I think used to do a lot.
Yeah, I wish we could find a bunch of those people who are just like, I just want to edit all day. And maybe we'll find some of the people. That's where we're calling out to you, people. Come join our collective. And you know what? If you're like, I don't have time to make a radio show, that sounds intense from the way they're talking about it. Maybe you want to become a member of KBOO instead. Maybe it's time for you to renew. Maybe you're just like, it is the day. It is finally the day. I'm reminded that I listen to APA Compass and I'm listening to Pacific Underground. It is time for me to become a member of KBOO. And you know who's here to talk about it with us? Jesse and Becky over there in Membership Central. How are you guys doing this morning?
Thank you, Jenna. Good morning. Yes, that is right. When you call 877-500-5266 to become a member of this community and talk about your experiences, like these ladies are discussing here about the origins of APA Compass and how it paved the way for Pacific Underground. I know Tabitha was mentioning, you know, what about burnout, man? I don't know about being in a collective, and I know from both myself and Becky, we are a part of a collective as well, and that could be kind of difficult, but together we make it happen.
That's right. It's community, y'all, and be a part of it by calling 877-500-5266. If you become a member now, you will be entered to win a prize, a twofer with a pair of passes to Hollywood Theater and a $50 gift certificate to Tin Shed Cafe. Mm-hmm. You can call that number, 877-500-5266, or you can go online to kboo.fm for rules and details on all the prizes.
Exactly.
But and you join KBOO not for the prizes, but for the support and the satisfaction and the solidarity.
Exactly. And I loved how they were mentioning in the talk about how they actually partnered with other communities to give them a voice as well. Not only did they come together to make a community of their own, but they joined forces. So join forces with the KBOO community here, folks.
Indeed.
Call 877-500-5266. Make your donation. We've got lovely phone answers ready to take your call. And, online.
Oh, yeah, kboo.fm. With two of you folks out there calling at the $20 a month level, we will make our goal quite easily of $500.
Yes, we can make it happen.
There's also a match, yeah?
There is a match.
Well, we need to tell people about that. Hey, your dollar for dollar will be matched.
Yes, that not only will be donating to KBOO, but it will be matched.
That's amazing. Our generous donor has agreed to match every extra dollar that you give to KBOO right now. And so now is the time to become a member, 877-500-5266. If you go online, you can give at kboo.fm. It is also easy. It also qualifies for the match. But really, the time is now. You've got a little more than 30 minutes to become a member of this thriving community radio station.
Exactly. And when you do call, you can maybe give us some info like, hey, I know how to edit. I can join this collective.
Oh, yeah.
What do I need to do?
That's right.
You know,
This is a participatory thing. It's not simply you listening to the radio and being fed whatever you are being programmed from Cincinnati. No.
No.
It is a place where people come together that share ideas, knowledge, and skills. And that is what KBOO has been about for 50 years. So call 877-500-5266 to get in on this community organizing project that has been going on for so long, so cool, So awesome. Just like you.
Woohoo.
Oh, whoa.
We need to hear from you, though, first at kboo.fm or call 877-500-5266. Become a monthly sustaining member. It's super quick. You can do it with our lovely phone answers. We'll walk you through it.
Oh, yeah.
And we've got computers back here now, Becky.
I know.
Into the 21st century for once.
I have to say, as one of the people that helped to instigate that change, I am so pleased and glad. And so we are calling all of you here in 2018 to join us and help us, you know, test out our system. The stress test of the membership drive is the way to go. You would be doing a solid, not only to your community, but to the infrastructure in which we do things. And that's just me getting nerdy, but you know, that's what I do. That's what I'm here for on Friday mornings anyway.
Yes.
So come join me, join all of these amazing folks who are on the radio. They're giving their time all the time in order to express their perspectives, to be a part of a community. The way you can do that is super easy. 877-500-5266. That's the phone number to call. And this beautiful independent institution is independent because our members support us. If you're a current member or were a member in the past, know that any additional gift you give to KBOO right now is matched one-to-one, but you must act now. And how can they do that?
877-500-5266 or online kboo.fm. Your membership will empower people in your community that will offer you news, information, perspectives like folks from the APA community and beyond that is so relevant to your life, but it also makes you think.
Oh, yes. And besides, KBOO is so important and becoming increasingly so. So grow with us by giving a little more if you can. If you do, you'll help us meet our $500 goal and your donation will go twice as far.
Yes, and we will ring that bell for you.
Oh, yeah, that's
right. Ringy-ringy.
Oh, yeah. So that number, how to do it, 877-500-5266 or go online, kboo.fm, and click the donate button.
Are you clicking? Are you clicking? Are you clicking the donate button right now and taking advantage of that match? Well, you should be because you're tuned in to the best Pacific Underground ever. Because today, we're not just Pacific Underground. We have brought back APA Compass. So we are like APA Compass meets Pacific Underground. It's gonna light it. Oh my God, it's the super APA show. Woo! So you are listening, though, to Pacific Underground here on KBOO Community Radio. And our guests today are Liz Rogers, Maureen Lowe, and Patty Stockwright, founders of APA Compass, the show that preceded Pacific Underground here on KBOO Community Radio, because we can only have one Asian show on at a time. What? Did I say that?
Hey, it'd be great if other people wanted to start their own Asian show.
I know. Wouldn't it be amazing if we had so many API folk that we were like, oh my God, we need like multiple shows.
The other show, I would like to propose like an API music hour.
Oh, that would be good.
Since we're the public affairs show, there could be a music hour to expose more Asian musicians that could use a little exposure.
Well, we've had some musicians on our show. That's definitely, we've always tried to have like a range of different guests. So on APA Compass, was it the same way? Like what kind of guests did you have on over the years? Oh, I know. Here's a better question. Who was your like most memorable guest that maybe you each individually interviewed?
Oh my goodness. I mean, for me, Margaret Cho stands at the top. But also, for me, another really memorable phone interview was with Yuri Kochiyama.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
And a longtime activist, you know.
I would have just been like, I would not have been able
senpai.
To do that.
And it was pretty awesome. I had gotten to meet her like a year or two before down in Eugene and had her contact information and called her. And she was just so sweet. She was elderly. And she, you know, it was just a lot of fun. It was just, you know, you hear someone that's been so active in so many things with different communities. And she just, you know, had so much wisdom to offer. But she also was interesting because she also said some very, she made some statements that you know, if we heard someone say them, we'd probably be offended and say that's really, you know, not appropriate to say. But for her age, and it's sort of one of those things like where older people say sometimes things that we think might be racist, but the intention is to, mm-hmm. you know, it's sort of that
one of those double-edged sword things.
Mm-hmm. Double-edged sword. But it was very, I mean, it will always stand at the top just because mm-hmm. she is who she was, and the interview she gave was pretty fun.
I think for me it was Grace Lee Boggs. I had a chance to interview her. She spoke at OSU, so I was able to go to a hotel. It was just the two of us, and just
oh
sat there.
Gosh.
It was so
you
hard to
like,
talk to
her. All the like, yeah. celebrities, wow.
All interview all the senpais.
So, yeah, that was pretty amazing.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I would concur with Liz, Margaret Cho, and Yuri Koshiyama. I think we were all sort of like flabbergasted and shocked. Because early on, we were only in our second year, maybe even our first year, on the air when Liz actually landed us an interview with Margaret Cho, and she actually came here to the station.
Oh my gosh, we're in the same room that Margaret Cho was in.
Oh, wow.
Y'all, and the carpet is more special in this room than I knew.
And the fact that, you know, she would talk to us, I think in and of itself, I think really sort of highlighted the importance of representation, but also reaching out to grassroots community activists and media activists, because that is the kind of representation I feel like we, when we were starting, wanted to sort of promote, that there are these stories and that there are these connections that are not highlighted.
Yeah, it's interesting with, you know, Crazy Rich Asians coming out last week and Searching. I want to see Searching so bad.
Me too. I heard it's really good.
You know, you think about 2018 and when you guys started your show in 2005, what the representation was 13 years ago. You know, here you think, oh, the early aughts. You know, there wasn't actually that much compared to now. The fact that we have two movies coming out within like a month is the most amazing thing. You know, and just so to think, you know, back in 2005, when I think about that, the early aughts, it's like, oh, there was Better Luck Tomorrow was kind of the one big.
Right.
Oh, you guys.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
you guys interviewed them, too.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. I'm so jealous. Oh,
I guess I forgot about it. Yeah.
Perry Shen and,
yeah. That's
did
right.
y'all ever interview George Takei?
No. We did not. I don't think we did.
I tried towards the end, I think. I tried.
Yeah, but, you know, but that's such a great point, because for us at that point, you know, the point of reference was actually Margaret Cho's show All American Girl on television, right, which was billed as the first all, you know, Asian American show on prime time. And now we have like Fresh Off the Boat and, you know, I guess Constance Wu, who is
you guys trying to get her
in, there we go. Yeah, exactly, who is now in Crazy Rich Asians. I mean, so like our point of reference was, it's, you know, weirdly different, but I feel like in some ways still the same in terms of like, yes, there's more programming out there. There is a little bit more awareness of Asian Pacific Americans, but the stories that get told actually are still pretty reductive and sort of not that different from, say, you know, All American Girl. I mean, you know, obviously Fresh Off the Boat is different, but I feel like in terms of what you were saying, like it's a very small slice of the diverse stories that are out there about Asian Pacific Islanders. And so I do feel like it's like, yes, we've improved, but yet, you know, structurally things are still kind of the same.
Yeah, last week we talked about Crazy Rich Asians and, you know, the problems of when you're having scarcity, you know, and it's like, yeah, we're all super excited about that, but no, that's not who most Asians are, and it doesn't really encompass all the stories that are out there, you know. And but it is interesting, like, when we're comparing it to the early aughts and, like, the 90s, that, you know, Joy Luck Club did not represent, you know, the vast majority of people. It was very exciting, and it was about a lot of, like, kind of a more opulent class of people and stuff like that. And, you know, but the representation's kind of the same, because we were talking about how Fresh Off the Boat is a show that was very exciting when it came out, but it, to me, sometimes it reminds me of, like, All American Girl, where it's not... it doesn't always feel like it's for our community in many ways. And so the representation is frustrating. And something else I thought about when I was thinking about your show and getting ready for today was Pacific Underground is the only Asian Pacific Islander radio show on the West Coast.
Yes.
That we are aware of.
Which shocked me because in LA, I would have thought there'd be another show in LA because there's such a large Asian population in LA. Right. But
yeah, no, it's just, it's not. And, you know, there's a few podcasts out, but, you know, radio is still such a public medium. And so I thought, wow, so here's all this time. You have APA Compass and Pacific Underground. And for like the last 13 years, those have basically been the only shows on the West Coast for radio. That's, you know, like how far have we come? We're like, oh, well, one show went off the air and the another one went on.
But thank goodness for actually KBOO and for, you know, promoting programming like this. Because, you know, to go back to Crazy Rich Asians, I mean, you know, on one hand, part of me is glad, like, oh, it was a major blockbuster and it, you know, quote unquote, proves that a show with a, you know, primarily Asian cast can make money. But like, I don't know if that's like the benchmark that we want to necessarily also like strive for. I mean, on the one hand, yes, it will then perhaps lead to more programs and more movies, blah, blah, blah. But on the other hand, I feel like it reinforces this idea of Asians as tied to capital always, right? That, you know, we are really good at making money, saving money, hoarding money, and we are, you know, financial threats. Right. I mean, that's sort of the underlying idea behind the model minority stereotype, which is like that's the positive version of, you know, Asian Americans. But the sort of more sinister dimension of the model minority stereotype is that, like, yes, totally upwardly mobile and economic competition. And so I feel, you know, it just reinforces that kind of stereotype that links Asian, East Asians in particular, persistently with capital and sort of excessive capital, ostentatious, you know, materialism.
I have to ask because this has been my obsession. I think I've talked about it for the last two shows. Have you guys seen Kim's Convenience yet on Netflix?
It's on my to-watch list.
You gotta watch it.
Yeah, I actually started watching it. I watched, I think, a couple of episodes.
I'm a super fan of it just because I've been kind of let down by Fresh Off the Boat. Mm-hmm. And even though Kim's Convenience is that same sort of thing where it's, you know, East Asian only, like, representation, basically because it's, you know, it's this Korean-Canadian family, it's different, than I feel, than, like, Fresh Off the Boat, and that I feel like it's more... that's what I feel like is different in this media, is that it mainstream, but it seems to be more for the Asian-American community. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the point of view is coming from more inside the family as opposed to, like, them always trying to explain, like, here's what our Asian-ness means.
Right.
They're often otherizing. And so I see that kind of as a little bit of a shift, but it's a small shift. Mm-hmm. But I do really appreciate the show. So if you guys haven't seen it, this is me trying to spread the gospel.
Way to go, Canada.
I know. They always got the funny stuff. They always do it better than we do. But another question I have for you guys is, we only got a couple more minutes before we got to go to another break, so we will start into this and continue after our break. But after doing the show for so long and while you were doing it, I just sort of wonder how doing APA Compass influenced your own view, either like on your own identity or how you saw community. Because I know I've learned so much about myself. I feel like it's the most selfish thing ever is to be on a radio show because I'm just like, you are so interesting because you're teaching me so much about me, like, and my experience in life.
That's a great question.
I think for me, it definitely, I think it definitely helped form, I guess it helped form sort of, you know, my perspective of the community here, my place in the community. You know, I grew up on the East Coast. I was adopted, so I grew up in, you know, upper white middle class kind of thing. And so when I got out here, it's funny because everyone says Oregon's so white, but it just happened that I just kind of fell into from one job and just kind of this community opened up, and all of a sudden it was just like this world of Asian Americans that I'd never really, you know, been exposed to before that weren't just adopted. So for me to kind of, kind of find my place and just kind of feel like, you know, I guess start feeling Asian. Sounds kind of weird. But really, you know, like I really was, like I could own it and be okay with it and that it wasn't this weird, like, thing about food or, you know, something. Like, I wasn't being asked necessarily to represent a whole group of people, but it was just like, hey, we're all here. We've had these different experiences. And that's, for me, what I really appreciated about kind of the collective and helping me kind of settle into Portland.
You know, we got to go to another break, and then we'll come back and you can have Patty and Marie answer that question as well. So let's go over and say hello to Jesse and Becky and the Membership Central. Wow. And let us know how it's going on over there.
Hello. It is going fairly well, but we still could use your help by calling 877-500-5266 and becoming a member of KBOO. Join this community that was so necessary to kind of start up the APA Compass family and pave the way for Pacific Underground. So yes, when you call to make a donation to KBOO, you will become a part of that community to keep going for the API perspective on the radio waves. And, you know, radio is such a public medium to bring that sort of perspective here that is still going strong. KBOO's been around for 50 years, folks.
That's right.
And we hope to keep that perspective going for diverse communities like APA Compass, like Pacific Underground, like QTP, OC Talk, right. TPOC Talk, Food Show, and Black Book Talk, and more.
So many incredible public affairs. And we've had a couple of folks call in and show their Yay! Amazing support. Let's ruddy your bells. Thank you, Jose from Salem.
Thank you.
Jose says, thanks to Liz Rogers and team.
Yay.
Yay. Adam from Portland.
Woo!
Likes the show. Happy about your content. This amazing program brought to you by some very passionate, amazing people. And you are an incredibly important part of that equation. And so to become a member of KBOO, to join the community, all you got to do is give us a call, 877-500-5266. Not only is it that you get to become a member of KBOO, you are going to be entered for a chance to win a prize.
A prize?
A prize. A whole prize. In fact, two. You get passes to Hollywood Theater and a $50 gift certificate to Tin Shed Cafe, dinner and a movie. So call 877-500-5266 or go online, kboo.fm, for rules and details on all the prizes. Also, any donations, any memberships during this program will be matched. You are committed, you out there, to underrepresented views that may be challenging, unfamiliar to you, but are necessary for a full examination of this beautiful world we live in. And as the world changes, consider becoming a KBOO member by calling 877-500-5266.
Six.
I'm having a moment here. Your membership will be matched dollar for dollar.
Yes, and we have a goal of $500 for this show. We have it up till the 10 o'clock hour.
We're almost there,
but we still could use your help. So please call 877-500-5266 or online kboo.fm.
It's a little less help and a little you joining us in this endeavor. So doing so is very important, not only for its longevity, but for you as an important part of the work. 877-500-5266. You listen, KBOO is listener supported, and if you become a member today, your contribution will be matched. 877-500-5266.
Donate now.
You are tuned into KBOO Community Radio, and you're listening to Pacific Underground. And this morning, we are having a very special APA Compass show. Just to confuse you a bit, we got APA Compass on Pacific Underground this morning. And before we were at our break, we were talking about how participating in APA Compass, how it affected how you guys viewed your identity or yourself or your communities here. So Patty, how did that work for you?
I think echoing what Liz was talking about, I think it definitely made me more familiar with the communities in Portland, but I think also it made me really appreciate the diversity, right, of those communities. I think it's one of those things that you might know in your head, but I think producing a show every month, and again, I don't know how you do it twice a month, hats off to you. Again,
I don't know how we do it.
Surprise every time.
So I think, again, of just trying to think about your original question around inclusivity, and I think that process, I think forced us to be, or at least forced me to be more thoughtful then about when I say community or communities, when I say diversity, when we think about different voices. I think the other thing is class, right? Mm-hmm. You know, what is that diversity? I think we often focus on the ethnic diversity within, under that umbrella term. But, you know, given our collective, I think there was also a certain limitation in terms of our own professional backgrounds, right, and our education. And I think really having to think through and grapple with that and some pretty, again, painful processes and some heated arguments about then how do we bring those voices to the table, not co-opt them, not sit there and try to speak for people that we have no business trying to speak for. So what does that look like? It's like, what is it in theory versus what is it in practice?
Yeah, I would just concur with both what Liz and Patty have said about terms of really thinking about community, what that means, and then also like my own place in it. So I did not grow up in Portland. So I moved here for work. And so when I first arrived here, I did feel very isolated because I had been used to living in communities where actually there were a lot of Asian Americans. And so finding a community actually, or I found a community actually through working on APA campus. I got to know everyone from working here long hours in the night. But the other thing, I mean, you know, the sort of tension between theory and practice that Patty pointed out, I think, is something that was really valuable for me because I do work, you know, I teach Asian American literature, and I often do sort of get caught up in the sort of theoretical aspects of representation and my work. But, you know, in terms of partnering with community partners, people who are working with diverse peoples, I mean, that I felt like was something that working on APA Compass gave me a better sense of really also the conflict between theory and practice, but also what a convergence or a merging of the two could look like. And I think radio really helped. And you know, I think that there's something particularly unique about the medium of radio that allows the kind of merging of theory and practice, because there is a certain kind of intimacy in the medium. It is an opportunity to tell stories. So that was something that I really learned about, you know, sort of how do you tell a story? What shape do you give it, and how it differs in a sort of oral medium versus, you know, a written, you know, form. So that I found really powerful because I was learning about, you know, yeah, just the power and the intimacy of the medium of radio that sort of enabled all these conversations and ideas to take place.
Yeah, I definitely know that doing Pacific Underground has really taught me such intimate ways to look at communities, because I think it's easy to just sort of talk about, as you're saying, the theoretical, like, oh, let's talk about the model minority problem, right. You know, and it's so easy for us to find those stories that are the ones that the media want us to pick about, you know, and pull apart. But then to have people like come in and just talk about what does that struggle look like every day, or to say, I'm not even included in that conversation because I'm not East Asian, and these are the conversations that are missing, you know, and to just humanize all the stories.
Yes.
I think it's easy as, like, you know, a representative of a group or whatever, you know, on the radio, you can be like, yes, I feel like an authority or whatever. But then every once in a while, you know, actually probably every week, you know, your guests come in and they just like remind you of like, these stories are complex, and this is why we're talking about these, because you could talk forever and never get to the bottom of the stories. And it's wonderful, like, I feel like, to hear the diversity of stories that they never end. Yeah, that hopefully we can be on for 10 years too. Gosh, that'd be amazing. I can't imagine that.
Oh man. I'm the thought of being on for 10 or more years excites me and terrifies me.
It flies by, it really does.
How did the show become named APA Compass?
Ah, well, yeah, we only have like a few seconds before we got to go to, but this is, yeah, a question that we were talking a little bit about during a break here, but it's very interesting because we, Pacific Underground and APA Compass apparently have had very similar conversations. and if you haven't thought about this, dear radio listener, it is fraught with controversy when you're like, let's just talk about API. like, oh my God, that is half the point.
What does that mean?
And we talk about that. So it's nice to hear that our show, you know, we had a hard time naming our show. So when we come back from Membership Central, we're going to talk about APA Compass and how that name apparently takes hours and hours of meeting, because it does. So Jesse and Becky, how's it going over there in the Membership Central?
Well, it's pretty chill, you know. Just hanging out. That's fine.
Just hanging out. But we want to make it exciting, so.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And we've got bells to do so.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. In fact, we have about $130 left to make our goal. That is two of you giving us a call at 877-500-5266 and becoming a KBU member right now. But also we found out something. We looked it up, and it looks like we have a pair of tickets to Kikagakumoyo, who are playing at Wonder Ballroom on the 7th of October. One pair. If this is for you, call in with your $60 pledge, your pledge of support, your membership, your being a part of this KBU community right now. Call 877-500-5266. Not only will you be you have the chance to win these tickets, you will also have your donation matched dollar for dollar.
Dollar for dollar.
And you'll be entered in for a chance to win a prize, dinner and a movie with Hollywood Theater and Tin Shed Cafe. But you got to take that first step, and you got to do it now because you only got about 10 minutes left to go. 877-500-5266.
Yes, and that $60 for the year, that's only $5 a month.
Oh, dang.
That could be with a credit card, a bank account. Our lovely phone answerers will be happy to take down that information. We've got some cool new computer systems here that we're working with. We're stepping into the future, folks. The future of computers. Imagine that. But please call 877-500-5266. Make that happen.
You already exist in the future, actually. You exist in the future where APA Compass, where Pacific Underground exists, and it is a place of inclusivity, and it's a place where a community can talk about, you know, cool TV, all the cool cultural representations, what is happening, what are some frustrations, all of that good stuff. We already did that. So we are, you'll be a part of that in a way by contributing to KBU and building the infrastructure that gives everybody here a place to be. 877-500-5266 is the number to call. Not only are you calling because you support this incredible community effort, it's because you listen. You are one of those listeners out there that support KBU, and maybe today is the first time you've considered becoming a member, and we would encourage you to do it right now because your membership will be matched dollar for dollar.
Yes, 877-500-5266 or online kboo.fm. The program you're listening to right now has been made possible not only by the collective of APA Compass and Pacific Underground, but because of the people that actually are tuning in and being sustaining members that have allowed us to be on the air for 50 years. So please join this community, join this family that is KBOO, 877-500-5266.
The members of KBU Community Radio are important builders of the KBU community. Join us. If you become a new member right now, every dollar of your contribution will be matched.
Be matched.
Be matched. We still, I believe, have those tickets to Kikagakumoyo on October 7th at Wonder Ballroom. Only one pair that we have just for you. And that number to call to get them is 877-500-5266. You can go online, kboo.fm. But, you know, you get to hear the elation in... Okay, wait. I'm sorry. I can't. Okay, so. Okay, that's it.
But, you know, you can still call us and give your donation, $60 for the year. That's $5 for the month. And you know what? We have, it's winter time, Becky.
Oh,
and it's going to get cold.
You've got to protect your
dome. You've got to protect your dome. And what better way to protect your dome than with a KBU beanie?
That's right. That's also $60 minimum pledge, but also $5 a month.
So. Whoa.
easy and so easy, so sustainable and so cool. And you have your donation matched. What?
Yes.
877-500-5266. That's 7 more minutes to go.
Yes.
7 minutes to become a KBOO member.
Let's make it happen.
And show your support to this show, because that's the important part, I think, is that you are giving a real like high five to the folks that make this show happen, who work so hard on it, who have been part of an incredible legacy of Asian Pacific Islander programming here at KBOO, Pacific Underground, APA Compass, Environments East West. It's incredible the amount of support and of the communities that come join us. You can show them your support right now by calling 877-500-5266 and take advantage of the match that is happening just this show, just this program, and be a part of the KBOO community.
Yes. And when you call 877-500-5266, you can make show your appreciation not only for this collective that is bringing you APA perspectives and more, but also you are supporting KBOO as a whole, as a community that's been going strong for 50 years.
We support each other and you support us. And if we get your help, we will keep going. 877-500-5266.
So you're listening to Pacific Underground. In our last few minutes, we are joined with the founders of APA Compass today. People we are eternally grateful towards here at KBOO, who they had their show on for a decade before Pacific Underground came on the air. And so the last few minutes here, I'm going to call it the advice time from the veterans. We and Pacific Underground have often talked about changing the name on our show, because we're like, Pacific Underground, that just is so massive. That Pacific,
so
oh my gosh.
Broad.
And, you know, and then so we wondered, how did you guys come up with the name APA Compass? And was that like an easy discussion? How do you come up with a name?
Well, I don't think it was an easy discussion. I mean, it didn't come to blows, certainly. But I think I remember, I don't know if it was the same meeting, the theme music. For whatever reason, my memory is focused on that meeting that we had at Clara's house over the theme music, and I don't know if the name came before or after. But I think it was just people had different ideas, and we kind of talked about them. And what I appreciated, I remember, is not only what they meant to the person, but we got to share, okay, so if I heard that, kind of, this is what I might hear or how I might take it. Or, you know, we were really, I think, at the end of the day, we're all pretty open to, okay, we have this idea about how could it be interpreted, because, again, that vast representation that we were trying to do but not, you know, do under false pretenses or however.
I think we were, you know, we talked about Asian American and Pacific Islander, Asian Pacific American. I think we had so many different permutations, and I think we were trying, I think, to be as inclusive as possible by the time we arrived at APA Compass. But, you know, I think what we were discussing during the pitch is that, you know, there are sometimes, because of the dominance of Asian Americans in relation to Pacific Islanders, certainly, you know, in terms of media representation, in terms of academia, in terms of a variety of different things, that, you know, the history of colonization and settler colonialism in relation to Pacific Islanders is oftentimes erased when we only, you know, sort of easily assume that there is a kind of equivalence between the experiences of Asian Americans who immigrate versus, you know, indigenous peoples who were colonized, and to lump everybody together oftentimes, you know, erases and assumes that immigration is sort of the paradigmatic thing that connects Asian Americans and Pacific Islanders, which it obviously is not. So but those were some, you know, difficult questions.
And I know we're short term, but I think, too, if we had that conversation today, I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, I know I would not be having the same position. Again, we were talking during the break, I think it was this idea, too, of having this opportunity. And so trying to carve out as large a space as we could. But, you know, I think speaking of the earlier conversation, I think it's time to have a Pacific Islander show, like standalone show, right?
Right.
I think
yes.
Why I think that is part of the need of that of having that separation is so that they can have their own space for their own show.
It's good to know that 10 years later, the conversations are still rich. I like knowing that you guys, that it was not an easy discussion. I think it really just talks about what is APA, what is API. It is always complex. It is always going to be lumped together in this country, but that we can, as a community, be the ones who parse that apart and give voices. And that's Sam doing the music thing, which means our time with the APA Compass folks is drawing to a close here today. Thank you guys for coming in so
much.
Thank
you for inviting
us. Yeah, thanks for having us.
I'll keep you guys forever. Maybe we'll have like bonus show.
Can you mentor us?
We'll just, you guys tune in for us getting mentored. And also, give a call to the Membership Central because you appreciate KBOO providing more than 10 years of APA programming. Thank you very much, KBOO. And thank you, Sam, for engineering another show for us. Okay, see you guys in 2 weeks.
Hapa, Laotian, Samoan, Bangladeshi, Thai, Singaporean, Chinese, Indian, Hawaiian, Japanese, Sri Lankan, Vietnamese.
Yes, yes, it's 10 a.m. at KBOO Portland. And you're getting a little glimpse, the continuity, the legacy. What's your part in the legacy? Are you going to support it with your dollars? Are you going to come down to 20 Southeast 8th and support it with your time and energy? There are some folks all throughout the Willamette Valley, especially, who are getting involved in ways that make sense to them. Our friend Dale Holliday down in Corvallis makes a weekly program called Valley Views, which we will be hearing about shortly. And there's also some folks in the Corvallis area who got involved in a way that made sense for them. And I am pleased, honored, privileged, as well as contractually obligated to remind you that support for KBOO programming comes from Dark Side Cinema in Corvallis, open every night featuring independent foreign and art house films. The Dark Side is located at 215 Southwest 4th Street between Madison and Jefferson. More information and showtimes available online at darksidecinema.com. And